I know you sang that song a couple of weeks ago, but I wanted to sing it again as a part of this message, because there Isaiah 43 talks about going through the heartaches and going through the trials of life and being challenged. And so that's a good setup for our sermon. Now, I did not give the scripture text to the gentleman upstairs because I'm going to be in several places. And so I will bring those to you as we make our way through the message. Years ago, and I believe it was Scotty who said this. You're good. I think I remember her saying this. When Pastor Tim goes away for 2 weeks and has that much time to prepare a sermon, watch out. I've had 4 weeks with this one. Watch out. I don't have a watch. Now, let me be truthful and honest with you. The message today is a bit of a personal testimony. But of course, it is also bringing you the truth of God's Word as we are given to do. About 80 years ago, a popular author, y'all all know, C.S. Lewis, wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. It's a very small little book, easy read. It tells a story, this book tells a story from a negative standpoint of the challenges of the Christian life, brought on by Satan himself. The two main characters, first, the gentleman, one of the characters has the name of Screwtape, and he is a senior demon. And he's writing to Wormwood, who is a junior demon, and Screwtape is giving Wormwood advice on the various methods of challenging the patient, the Christian. Challenging God's word, creating disillusionment, creating confusion, and then in the end, a total abandonment. And he uses the everyday things of life to bring in that confusion in the patient's mind, the Christian. Now, Wormwood, the young demon, is sent to tempt and to sway the patient from her belief in God Almighty. And as I've said, the desire is to create confusion. Do not believe in biblical truth. Humanity has evolved into thinking that they are much more advanced than the cryptic, archaic teachings of the enemy. Well, the enemy, of course, that's being spoken of is God. Wormwood tempts the patient to understand that the Bible was written by just men who had to create a story to uphold their wanderings. And it's not inerrant. It's not infallible. It's a book. And so here Wormwood all along is trying to tempt the patient. Now, while this book is, I'll call it fictional in its format, Satan and his attacks are not. This, I believe, has been part of my situation for the last several weeks, if not the last several years. You see, spiritual attacks can come in many, many different forms. Health, relationships, finances, the desire for secular power, pride. Satan, if you read the book Screwtape Letters, Satan, Screwtape, Wormwood uses all of those things to confuse, to disengage, to challenge, to weaken the Christian. Now, I want to share these things with you because, first and foremost, I want you to know. And I think everyone in the room does know, but there's many in the church across this world who would not agree. I want you to know that Satan is there. And he is strong. And he is powerful. And he never stops. And I want to tell you these things because I love you. And I know that you love me, and I knew that before these last 4 weeks, but these last 4 weeks have just made that such an indelible imprint. And so I want you to know the realities of the ministry. I want you to know the realities of a church such as ours that's in the crosshairs of Satan himself. And I want you to know these things because, yes, it is challenging. And Satan knows that I am a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I love and have and will serve with all of my life. And so Satan does not want me standing in this pulpit. But why? Why? We can say, well, you're a preacher. Why? Well, now, there are many tracks that I could take answering that question of why. But I want to narrow ourselves down to just one track that I think is at the pinnacle of the many whys. But why Satan is after me and why Satan would be after this church. But first, how do we begin to face Satan's attacks? Well, we go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First of all, Peter says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Peter writes, be sober-minded, be watchful. And what Peter means here is to be sober-minded. Don't be disillusioned into thinking Satan is not after you. Be watchful. And see, that's one of my primary jobs as a pastor, is to be that one standing at the guardhouse, standing on the wall of the fort, looking out across the horizon, watching for the wolves that are coming. Not that might be coming, they're coming. And then it is my job, just as I'm doing right here, to come and to teach and to warn and encourage. That's why we're doing the Psalms of Encouragement, which I'll get back to next week. Now, reading on, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Peter says, humble yourselves and cast all your anxieties on him because he cares. This is what I've had to do over the last 4 weeks, is to let go and say, God, this is yours. This is yours. But this is the first step into confronting those attacks, humbly realizing that I cannot do this alone. I cannot face the trials and the temptations of Satan alone. So we first need to cast our cares and the anxieties on God who loves us. But let me back up again. But why? Why is Satan seeking to devour the Christian? John 18. Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And here is why Satan seeks to weave his lies. Because Jesus Christ is the truth and bear witness to the truth. And he says, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And so see, it's all this issue about truth. Then Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? Pilate asks, the world asks, under Satan's influence, what is truth? We preach and teach the truth, and Satan does not want that. And the world, by and large, doesn't believe in objective truth, and therefore follow the lies so easily. Satan does not want the truth of Jesus Christ to be known. That's why he comes after those who stand so profoundly teaching the truth. I teach and preach the truth. So we will always face Satan's challenges. And he will not give up until the day the Lord Jesus Christ comes and gets his church. One of the joys I have of late is walking through Linderman Hall and passing by youth room, I'll call it, and see their writings on the walls. Now, don't get weird about the writings on the walls. Time comes, we'll paint it, whatever, it's fine. But if you walk by that room, first of all, you'll notice the sectional sofas in there that some of you have given and donated. But all over the walls are scriptures of truth. Does a pastor's heart good to know that our youth leaders are teaching that truth and our youth expect that truth to be taught? So you think Satan's just going to walk on by and go, don't worry about them. No. So next time you find yourself, kind of wander down through there and go visit their room. Please notice the title of the sermon. Please notice the title of the sermon. I don't typically throw Latin and Greek words at you in a sermon such as this, but these are important. First of all, veritas, that Latin word for truth. Pilate, like many today, questioned truth. And you ask the question, can a real truth be known? Well, depending on who you ask in our world today, they would say absolutely not. But then they would say, okay, what is real truth anyway? It's an unknown. Today, the word truth actually is very rarely used anymore, except in Christian circles, because it has become such a weak, almost meaningless word, because many suggest their own truth. And here goes my saying that I've said many, many times. If your truth is truth, and your truth is truth, and my truth is truth, then neither truth is really true. Because you can't have varying truths. But let me go further. If you believe something to be truth, yet you cannot defend it as objective, absolute truth, then are you not simply following an idea that someone has promoted as being a truth? So when someone says they do not believe in the objective truth, and what they are really saying is that they believe an idea that someone has put forward that has no basis of truth at all, but yet is being promoted in our culture, in our society, and is accepted as the norm, as the truth. And Satan is just having a ball. This is where Satan excels. Selling ideas. Getting you to believe in an idea that might be just a slight twist off of the truth. This is attributed to Hitler, but I'm not sure he actually said it. But the person said, if you mix a little bit of truth in with a lie, the people will buy it all the time. Because they don't know the truth well enough to differentiate between the truth and the lie. And the world accepts these false ideas, and Satan is not happy with anyone who preaches and upholds an objective biblical truth. And this is why we have the challenges of spiritual warfare. And I believe this is part of the reasons I've had the challenges I have had. Veritas, the truth. However, if you look at the title of the sermon, there's another word there. And this is the actual word used by Pilate in John 18 when he says, what is truth? It's aletheia. And you see it spelled there in the bulletin. Aletheia. Now, this is not merely a truth as spoken, such as the sun rose this morning. Okay, that's a truth. That's veritas. It is a truth. Aletheia is a truth statement, but it gets deeper. It's a truth statement of a reality, a sincerity, a truth that has moral implications. A divine truth revealed. And that's what Jesus Christ said he was. I am the truth. I am the aletheia. There are moral implications in the truth I am giving you. So when Jesus, as I said, is saying he is the truth, he is not simply comparing himself as a truth to the rising of the sun. No, no. There is so much more in the aletheia, the truth of Jesus Christ. And that's what we preach and that's what we teach. Because that truth is the truth that sets us free. The sun rising is a truth, but that has nothing to do with freedom. And also the truth will free us from the bondages of sin and the lies of Satan that he uses to devour us, as Peter has written. But be encouraged, we will. I will. Face the challenges of Satan, but please know, he will not win. He can't. Now, he's not smart enough yet to know that. But he can't. And so when Peter writes to cast your anxieties upon God, understand the truthfulness of who God is and the defeat of Satan. Now, for some reason, God is allowing Satan to roam for a while. But Satan can go nowhere or tempt anyone until God says, okay. Now, someone will construe that and say, oh, God is tempting me. Nope, that's not the case. Then finally, Ephesians chapter 6, this passage many of you know well. Finally, be strong in the Lord and strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Know who the enemy is. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, aletheia. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the truth. We teach the truth. We fight for the truth. We will stand for the truth. And Satan is not happy. Therefore, we will have the attacks. Martin Lloyd-Jones has written many, many years ago. He writes this, we alone as Christians understand what is wrong with this world. We see powers and principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, behind the visible and seen phenomena, and we see perplexed politicians trying to deal with the problems and failing. We know they must fail because they do not see what is at the back of it all. We see it as conflict between heaven and hell. What we experience in the ministry is this conflict between heaven and hell, this conflict between good and evil, this conflict between Satan and the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he calls us to preach and to teach, he's setting us up right in the middle of the front of that battle. Satan tried at the birth of Jesus to kill him. He failed. Satan tried on that Friday afternoon to kill Jesus on the cross. He failed. Jesus resurrected, defeating Satan, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And so you would think Satan goes, okay, I'm done. Oh, no, no, no. He's after you now. He's after me now. Why? Because I remind him of Jesus. I hope you remind him of Jesus. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. Be on guard. Be watchful. Satan is seeking whom he may devour. But let me close with these two passages. I don't want to leave you perplexed. First, Jesus said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Is Satan powerful? Absolutely. But I'm not afraid. And secondly, in John 16, he says, "I've said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." He doesn't say you might have. He said, well, it's possible. You will have tribulations. You will have trials. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Yes, we will face Satan's attacks, but rest easy, be at peace. If Jesus is for us, who can be against us? And Jesus is so for us that he gave his life for us to protect us from the eventuality of any victory by Satan. And so as we approach this table today, know that God, through Jesus Christ, has done everything necessary for your salvation. He has done everything necessary to give you victory over Satan's lies and his ploys. But yet we all know the challenges of this world are hard and they are difficult. And sometimes we are knocked down to our knees. Many times to our very faces. But the Spirit comes along and says, "All right, brother, sister, get up. Let's go. We ain't done here. I am not done here." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful message, your protection. Satan, you are a defeated foe. I know you will continue to try. So Holy Spirit, make us even stronger, that we might indeed find that victory in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.